Good morning. You know, as I was reading the text for this morning's lesson from Hebrews chapter 5, reminded me of a car that I know of that sat in an alley for years, so much so that grass began to grow up around it, and it seemed like things even actually began to grow on the car itself. One day it stalled, and then it got parked there and left there for years. Now you would think, since it hadn't been run, since nobody had used it for many years, that it would still be in the same condition mechanically as it was when it was left there, right? You should be able just to get in and take care of whatever caused it to stall, turn the key, and you'll be able to run, and it'll be just like it was when it was left there years ago. The fact is, when an auto sits for that long without being used, without being tended to, it tends to get old even faster. In fact, it had all kinds of other problems that didn't exist in the beginning because it was left there untended and it wasn't any good anymore. And you know, there are some things in life that are like that. When you leave them untended, when you leave them be, they tend to get progressively worse. But on the other hand, if you tend to them, they can get progressively better. And you may be thinking of some things that are that way. If you don't paint a house and you don't do the maintenance on a house, after a while things begin to go really bad. If you leave a house sit, it goes bad, just sitting, being unused. And you know, the same is true in our Christian faith as well. If it goes untended, it gets progressively worse. It's kind of like when you're learning to ride a bicycle. What's the most important thing? Keep pedaling, right? Don't stop pedaling, because when you stop pedaling, what happens? You fall down. You got to keep pedaling. And the Christian life is the same way. We want to continue to tend our faith and not stall. We want to keep pedaling. So with that in mind, let's go ahead and read from Hebrews chapter 5, and we'll begin with verse 10, and read down to verse 8 of chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 10. Being designated by God, talking about Jesus, as a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. And concerning him, we have much to say, and it is hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. Therefore, leaving the elementary principles, elementary teaching about the Christ, let us press on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of instruction about washings and laying on of hands and the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. For in the case of those who have once been enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift, and have been made partakers of the Holy Spirit, and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, and then have fallen away, it is impossible to renew them again to repentance, since they again crucified to themselves the Son of God and put him to open shame. For the ground that drinks the rain which often falls on it and brings forth vegetation, useful to those for whose sake it is tilled, receives a blessing from God. But if it yields thorns and thistles, it is worthless and close to being cursed, and it ends up being burned. Let's pray. Father, as we reflect and meditate on your word today, and its meaning and application for our lives. Father, may we do so humbly. May we do so willingly. May we do so in subjection to your will and your desire as we strive to please you and understand what it means to be children of God. Father, thank you for revealing your will to us. In the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. This passage reminds us that we need to continue to grow and to progress in our Christian faith without stalling. And we're going to see several reasons why as we look at this text this morning. Okay, the first reason is that stalling can lead to dull hearing. The text says that they had become dull of hearing because they'd stalled in their faith. Now, what does it mean to become dull of hearing? The word itself means to be lazy, sluggish, or hard. They have become hard of hearing. And he says, we want to explain to you and expound on this high priest of Jesus, his high priesthood after the order of Melchizedek. But it's hard to explain. And the problem was not because the material was too difficult to understand, but the problem was that it was too difficult for the hearers to understand. The problem was with the hearers because they were still at an elementary level in their faith and were not accustomed to hearing and understanding and living out some of the deeper things of God. Now, I've heard people say over the years that the Bible is so simple and it is so simple to understand. And, you know, there's nothing that's going to be deep in there. We just need to keep it simple. Now, in one respect, I understand and I agree with that. But I also understand that there are things that are deeper in the Word of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul says, I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. The simple gospel message. But he goes on in verse 6 and says, yet we do speak a wisdom among those who are mature. He understands that there are levels of teaching when it comes to the Christian faith. We do speak a wisdom among those who are mature. We do go deeper in the Christian life for those who have been at it a while. It's kind of like studying a foreign language. Have you ever studied a foreign... anyone ever studied a foreign language before? Now, I've heard it said that the first year of a foreign language is like taking your fingers and putting down on a table and taking a hammer and hammering every single one of them. The first year of a foreign language simply is no fun. But you've got to master those fundamentals. You've got to master the basics. Because if you don't, you never will be able to go on and become proficient in that language. If you stall, then that language is going to continue to seem foreign. That language is going to continue to seem strange. And you will indeed be dull of hearing when it comes to that language. It's the same way with learning anything, and especially when it comes to learning the Christian faith. Especially true when it comes to the Christian life. If we stall and don't master the basics, then we'll never master the deeper things of the Christian life, and it may indeed seem like a strange foreign language to us. And the question I had to ask myself is, can I summarize the biblical message? How many of us are familiar with the biblical message that we can summarize the biblical message? Now, I know it's a big book, but how many of us can actually maybe in 5-10 minutes summarize the biblical message? If I've never mastered the basics of the Christian faith, I'm going to find it very difficult, if not impossible, to do so. In fact, it may seem strange and unfamiliar. And I realize that if I have a problem when somebody starts talking about some of the aspects of the Christian faith and my eyes glaze over and my mind begins to wander because I just don't get it, then maybe I have become dull of hearing. And if I become dull of hearing, then I'm not going to be able to move on to spiritual maturity. And that brings us to our next point. Stalling in our Christian faith can lead to abnormal immaturity. Now, I say abnormal immaturity because there is such thing as normal immaturity. If you have a five-year-old, you expect them to act like a five-year-old. You don't expect a five-year-old to act like a 30-year-old. But if you have a 30-year-old that's acting like a five-year-old, then you know that you've got a problem, right? Abnormal immaturity. And that's what this text is talking about. It's dealing with abnormal spiritual immaturity. And we see from this text that these folks have been Christians for a long time. And during this time, they should have been growing. They should have been maturing. Instead, he says, you guys still can't even take solid food yet. Solid food is for the mature, but you still need milk. He says, in fact, you guys have been Christians long enough. The text says, by now, you should be teachers. If you've been learning all along, by now, you should be able to teach others what you have been learning. It reminds me of the days when I went to graduate school. Some of the instructors said, you guys are at a different level than you were before. And so it was a lot different. For a lot of our classes, we didn't sit there and soak in long lectures like we did in undergraduate work. But instead, we were at the level where we participated in actually teaching the class. We did the research, and each of us had a topic that we taught. Then we had a question and answer and discussion period, followed up by comments from our instructor. Completely different, because we were at a different level. We should have been at a different level. And these folks also should have been at a different level. They should have been able to articulate the fundamentals of the Christian faith to the point where they could be able to guide others in the Christian faith. But instead of becoming teachers, they began to atrophy in their faith. Now, does everybody know what atrophy means? I looked up a definition of atrophy. It's a medical term. It means the wasting away, the shrinking, or the weakening of a part of the body due to disuse or poor nourishment. Disuse or poor nourishment. What an apt description of what we're reading here in this text. You see, through poor nourishment and through disuse, through neglect, they were beginning to atrophy in their faith. And it all started with them becoming dull of hearing, which led to abnormal immaturity. They never moved past being able to digest the milk of the Word. And therefore, they were weak and they were malnourished. Have you ever seen what malnourishment, starvation does to a body? When you have malnourishment, when you have starvation, everything begins to atrophy. We usually think of the physical aspects. I mean, the shriveling up of the body because there's nothing to build it up. Bones becoming weak and susceptible to all kinds of bone disease. Maybe the lack of hair. Maybe just the intense weakness, being just a chore, just to even smile, being susceptible to all kinds of diseases. But it's not just physical, it's mental as well, isn't it? When a child is growing and they don't have proper nourishment, then their brain doesn't develop properly. And though they may have the body of a 15-year-old, they may still have the mind of a child. This is what happens to us spiritually when we become dull of hearing and when we are abnormally immature. We become susceptible to spiritual disease. We become weak. And you know, abnormal spiritual immaturity is a silent, silent disease, and it's a progressive disease. When we become dull of hearing, when the Word of God begins to sound strange, when the Christian life becomes too difficult or maybe too much of an inconvenience, we begin to invest our emotional energy in other things. Maybe we begin to pray less. Maybe we begin to read the Bible less. We begin to think about God less. We worship less. We meet with other Christians less, and eventually we drop out altogether, and by that point it didn't even hurt. It didn't even feel wrong because it's such a silent and deadly and progressive disease. Stalling can lead to abnormal immaturity. Stalling, and that brings us to our third point, stalling can also lead to senselessness. Senselessness. Now, when we think about our senses, we usually think about the senses such as our seeing. We can perceive the world around us through our eyes, through seeing, through our hearing, our ears, through feeling, through touch, through smell, through taste. We have all of these senses, and we learn to use them, and we perceive and understand the world around us through our senses. But you know, there's also a spiritual sense as well, and it's something that through disuse can become dull. In fact, it says in verse 13 of chapter 5, solid food is for the mature, in verse 14, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. So their senses are trained through practice and through proper spiritual nourishment. Through solid food and through practice, they are able to understand and perceive the world through God's eyes. Now think about what we mean by senses. I looked it up in the dictionary. Senses are our feeling or perception through our senses, faculty of the mind such as a moral sense, mental discernment. It's intelligence, and as an adjective, it means showing sound judgment or to be keenly aware of. I looked the word up in Greek, and it means the power of discernment. Think about that. Our senses are trained. It is our power of discernment. And I began to think about when our children were little and they were first born and they could barely discern anything at the beginning. And as they began to grow, they began to learn and they began to understand. And when they began to move around, you baby-proof the house, right? You child-proof the house. Why do you do that? A child doesn't know that an electrical outlet is dangerous, right? They don't know that everything they pick up off the floor is not supposed to go into their mouth, right? Oh, don't put that thing in your mouth. And they don't know these things yet. But after a while, as they begin to learn, they begin to discern, discern the things that are good and the things that are bad. And it comes through experience, it comes through training, and it comes through teaching. But what if somebody is lacking a sense and they receive it later? What happens if someone has been blind from birth and as an adult, through a miraculous operation, was able to receive sight? Would they understand when they looked at an apple that they are looking at an apple? Now, you probably heard of the accounts of this happening. They have no idea what it is they're looking at. What is this? I have no idea. And you let them touch it, and they touch, oh, this is an apple. See, their other senses were trained through smell and through touch to understand that's an apple. But now they've got to learn through seeing what an apple looks like. Oh, this is an apple. And so he learned something new today. And he trained his sight to discern the world around him. And it's the same way when it comes to our spiritual sense. Our spiritual sense needs to be trained in order to discern and understand the world around us and to understand what is good and what is bad. And we gain this power of spiritual discernment through biblical, doctrinal, theological training and through practice. And as we grow in our spiritual discernment, we begin to understand the things that are evil, the things that are ungodly, the things that are wrong, and also the things that are good and holy and pleasing to God. We begin to understand and perceive that even though the world thinks premarital sex is okay, this is something that God condemns and it's wrong. We understand things such as abortion, things such as cloning, things such as homosexuality, a communist worldview, and the list goes on and on. We understand the things that are evil, the things that are wrong. We understand an injustice when it happens. We love truth. We love equity and other godly qualities, things that come from the character of God. Through spiritual discernment, we have the means and the ability to evaluate all things by the one standard, the standard that comes from the Creator Himself, through God. Not so if I have become dull of hearing and abnormally immature, if I have become senseless and don't truly understand. If I become senseless, what winds up happening is I become a part of the herd, going with the flow, whatever way the herd goes. You ever notice a herd seems to just all go the same direction? But we're called to be holy, set apart from the world. But if I become part of the herd, then I'm in a very dangerous place. And that brings us to our final point. Stalling can lead to permanently falling away. In other words, you fall away and never come back. Let's go ahead and read that one more time. Chapter 6 and verse 4, it says, "In the case of those who have once been enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and have been made partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come and then have fallen away, it is impossible to renew them again to repentance." They've fallen away and never come back. Here is a dire, dire, serious warning. Now, you may be aware that there is a debate about the meaning of this passage. There are those who believe that you can never fall away once you're saved. There are those who have a lot of problems. What do you mean impossible? Does that mean there's no hope? And let's just look at what the passage actually says. Who is this speaking to? It's speaking to those who have been a Christian. It says they've been enlightened. They've tasted the heavenly gift. They've experienced the heavenly gift. They've been made partakers of the Holy Spirit. The only people that are partakers of the Holy Spirit are those that have truly become Christians. So these people truly were Christians, but now it says they have fallen away. They have rejected Christ. It says they crucified to themselves the Son of God and put Him to open shame. Very much the same thing that those who put Him on the cross did. They crucified Him. They put Him to public shame. They rejected Him. They turned their backs on Him. And that's who this is talking about. It's not talking about the Christian who stumbles and gets back up and starts walking again. It's talking about the one who has fallen completely away and now has completely rejected Christ. And it says it is impossible to renew this person. Does that mean there's no hope? And somebody may say, well, you know, I know of someone that did turn his back on Christianity. And it didn't look like there was any hope for this person, and he came back. What about a person like that? And some people may say, well, this is a hyperbole, a gross exaggeration in order to make a point. Either way, the point is still made. This is a dire warning, a serious warning of what can happen to anyone. And get to the point where you never come back. It's kind of like what happens to some marriages that end with an affair, that end with adultery. And we know how that happens. Sometimes it starts so innocently at first. Somebody treats another person nice, and they start thinking about that person all the time, and it's so innocent. One thing leads to another, and the next thing you know, they're involved in a full-blown affair. They're involved in adultery, and the marriage ends. And some people will say that marriage is now broken beyond repair. The person who's committed adultery is now with a new person and doesn't want to go back. And maybe that's the sort of thing that this passage is talking about here. Become so attached to the world, you don't want to go back to Christ. And this is a serious warning to anyone that has become dull of hearing. A serious warning. I looked up some statistics for college-aged people that grew up as Christians, because this is the largest group of dropouts come from this age group. A study done by Barna in 2006 said that 61% of 20-somethings fall away. That's well over half, folks. 61% of 20-somethings fall away. A study done by UCLA said 52% of college students attend church before enrollment in college, and only 29% continue after their junior year. Study done by Flavel Yakely said that 85% of members of the Church of Christ, when they leave home, 85% drop out if they leave home and enroll in a state school. 85%. And you know, from my own experience, I know the dropouts don't only come from this age group. I'm thinking of people that I knew that were not just 20-somethings, people that I knew growing up. I remember Fred, when I was a young teenager, was a member of the church. He was very active in the bus program that we had. He taught Bible classes, active in VBS, talked to people about Christ, and he fell away. And to my knowledge, has never come back. Charlie was a church fix-it guy. Fixed everything. He built things. He repaired things. And I remember one day I looked out in the garage, and Charlie was in our garage fixing our car. He had heard that our car wasn't working right. And that's just the kind of guy that he was. And there was Steve, who was a song leader in the church, active in church. There was Keith, involved with the youth and went on various trips. And you know, these were people that were very involved. They were leaders, and no one ever would have dreamed that any of these guys would have fallen away. Yet every single guy that I mentioned to you has fallen away, and to my knowledge has never returned. They have invested their lives elsewhere. Their lives are solidly invested in things other than God. So if I have become dull of hearing, this is a serious warning. So, and you notice as we looked here, all of this kind of forms a progression. Dull of hearing can lead to abnormal spiritual immaturity, which can lead to spiritual senselessness, which can lead to permanently falling away. This is a dire and serious warning, not only to you young people, but to every single one of us. And so the question is, in this progression, where am I? Have I become dull of hearing? Am I abnormally spiritually immature? Have I become senseless? Or have I made, well, if I'm at the final step, then I wouldn't be here this morning. Where am I in this progression? Maybe I'm still at the point that I still need to accept Jesus as my Lord and allow Him to rule my life. And you know, this is the first step and only the first step. When you hear the gospel that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, that He was buried and rose from the grave, and you recognize that there's sin in your life that stands between you and God, and you accept Him as your Savior and as your Lord so that He rules your life and you're baptized, that's not the end, that's just the beginning. We begin this lifelong journey of growing in the Lord. If I've already done that, then the question is, what can I do to avoid stalling in my faith? And I think as we go back and look at this text, it tells us several things. We know that the Bible calls us disciples. And there's a word that's related to the word disciple. That word is discipline. And I think we see that in this passage, don't we? A disciple of Christ is a disciplined person. We need to be a growing disciple. The text implies if we become dull of hearing, then instead of becoming dull of hearing, we need to listen to the Word of God. Truly listen and put the Word of God into our heart. It needs to become a part of us so that we can move beyond milk and into the meatier things of God. And not only do we need to listen, we also need to learn. We need to understand. And number three, we need to put it into practice. Our senses become trained through practice to discern between good and evil. And what happens in verse 7 of chapter 6? It says, "The ground that drinks the rain, which often falls on it and brings forth vegetation, is useful to those for whose sake it is tilled and receives a blessing from God. We begin to bear fruit. Yes, the Christian life indeed is like riding a bicycle. I mean, if you're pedaling and you're moving along pretty good, and you say to yourself, I'm going to pedal and pedal and pedal, so we need to keep on pedaling, and if we don't, we're going to fall down. And so the question for all of us this morning is, in what aspect of my life do I need to keep on pedaling? Do I need to keep on pedaling by attending to the Word of God? Do I need to keep on pedaling by putting it into practice? Do I need to keep on pedaling so that I can bear fruit? Where am I in my Christian walk? We're going to go ahead and sing a song this morning. And if you need to respond to the message, please come as we stand and sing.